And then remember them which have the rule over you, who've spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. I know that there's some ministers that use this that say that the members of the church should obey them. I rather think that the fault here is that of leading. They are spiritual leaders, and spiritual leaders are to lead folk to Christ. And if a man is presenting Christ and attempting to bring people into the presence of Christ, then that's the man I would say you should be loyal to. But to say you're just to be loyal to a man because he happens to be the pastor of a church, that just doesn't happen to be true. And that's not what Paul is talking about here at all. Now, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to say to you, I feel inadequate to deal with this very marvelous verse. The first thing I want to say is this, just the word, Jesus Christ. And I want to say this to you, that there's no accident in the Word of God. That is, no words ever used carelessly. Now, Jesus was his human name. Christ is his title. That speaks of his deity. And, oh, how wonderful this is. This speaks the name Jesus. That links him, if you please, with humanity. That links him with mankind down here. That links him with the most wonderful person in the world. And what you have here is a name and a title. Jesus, name of sweetness. Jesus, sound of love. Cheering exiles onward to their rest above. Jesus, oh, the magic of the soft love sound. How it thrills and trembles to creation's bound. Now, Jesus, do you know how wonderful he was as a person when he was down here? I'm just not talking about his humanity. You know, people crowded around him. He was human. He was so human. Actually, the mobs followed him. They loved him. It was the teaching of Jesus they hated. It was not Jesus, the man. He was wonderful, friends. Now, this verse has probably been as misapplied as much as any verse that's in the Word of God. There are those that use it today. They say, well, Jesus was here 1,900 years ago, and he performed miracles. We ought to perform them today. He healed 1,900 years ago, and so we ought to be healing today, and that he's still in the same business. Now, let's understand how he is the same. He's the same in his character and in his person and in his attributes, but he's not the same in the place that he was and performance. Now, I just came back from Israel recently. I didn't see him over there. And by the way, I saw very little evidence of him in that land. But 1,900 years ago, he walked through that land over there, and he did heal. 1,900 years ago, he was in Bethlehem, a little baby. But he's no longer a baby, and he's not in Bethlehem. 1,900 years ago, he was a little boy playing around the streets of Nazareth. I walked down the streets of Nazareth. I didn't see him. I saw a lot of little boys. But he's not there. I was in Jerusalem, and I saw Golgotha. And there's not even a cross there today. And he's not on a cross. The whole thought of this epistle is that he is at the right hand of God, seeing that we have a high priest, yonder at the right hand of God, and looking unto Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He did that 1,900 years ago, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Now, right now, he's up yonder, and someday he's going to come as the king, but he hasn't come yet as the king to the earth to establish his kingdom here. And he hasn't called his church out of the world yet, but he's going to do that. But he is the same in his attributes. Now, in that light, let's look at him. We mentioned last time that these two names are given here, Jesus, Christ, the same. Well, Jesus is that human name that was given to him. Christ is a title, speaks of his messianic mission to this earth. that he is God manifest in the flesh. And it's marvelous how these two are brought together here. Jesus Christ, how wonderful these two are meshed together here. He is Jesus Christ, and he's the same. Now, when he was here 1,900 years ago, it was God who came down to our level. When I'm in that land, I marvel at that. He came to a place where actually there was not great wealth and pomp and ceremony. He didn't come to Rome, the center of power and government. He didn't come to Athens, the great cultural center. He did go to Jerusalem, the great religious center of that day. But he came down to our level. He was a human being. And I want to say this concerning his humanity, because many of us today are so afraid that we will not be understood, that we don't emphasize the humanity of Christ, we emphasize the deity of Christ. Well, that needs emphasizing today, because the liberal talks nothing but the humanity of Christ, and I think he misses that. And this is what I mean. I think that Jesus was the most attractive person that ever walked this earth. And I'm now talking about, not because he's God, because he's a man. I think he was a real man. Have you ever noticed that the crowds were attracted to him? The crowds followed him. He was strong but gentle. Little children came to him, but he could drive the money changers out of the temple, and they ran for cover because he was man enough to do it. He was a real man, and he was attractive. He had what we call today charisma. People followed him because they loved him. They were in the presence of a man that was a man. In Capernaum, you remember, he healed a leper and then had to leave because the crowds came around him, and they crowded him so he couldn't even continue his ministry. Publican sinners came to him, and that was the thing the religious crowd went after him about. You know, if he came to your town today, I hate to say this, but I don't think he'd come to your church, and I don't think he'd come to my church either. I don't think that's where he'd go. I have a notion you'd find him down where the crowd is. He'd be mixing with the crowd. These little children came to it. I marveled at that. And you remember when he went through Jericho at the end of his ministry, we find there that the crowds lined the way, and little Zacchaeus had to climb up a tree, and our Lord stopped, you remember, and brought that fellow down out of the tree. How wonderful the Lord Jesus was in his person. But now I want to say something very carefully, and it's this. It was the person of Christ that appealed. It was not his teachings and his great declaration that he was going to die and he'd come to redeem man. That was not popular. And you'll find that at the very beginning of his ministry, that it was his teachings that offended. He talked about he was the bread of life, and that he'd come down to give his life, that men might have spiritual food. Then he said to them over in John, the 6th chapter, 65, he said, "Therefore, I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of the Father." And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Now, that crowd narrowed down, and only 12 stayed with him. Why? Because of his teaching. It is said that Savonarola in the city of Florence went before the great populace, and he said to them, "Be free." And they applauded him. And then he said to them, "Be pure." And then they ran him out of town. They didn't want his teaching unless it appeals to them. And the Lord Jesus said to man, you have to turn from sin. You can't live in sin. That I've come to make you free, but I'll have to give my life for you, and you'll have to come as a sinner to me. And sinners came. And when men were desperate, They would come to him. And I believe that's the only way they'll come to him today. Oh, I tell you, friends, he was a very wonderful person. Someone has put it like this. Our blessed Lord combined in one two natures, both complete in perfect manhood, all sublime in Godhood, all replete. As man, he entered Canaan's feast, an humble guest to dine. As God, he moved the water there and changed it into wine. As man, he suffered weariness and rested on a well. As God, he pierced a sinner's heart and saved her soul from hell. As man, he climbed the mountain's height, a supplement to be. As God, he left the place of prayer and walked upon the sea. As man, he wept in heartfelt grief beside a loved one's grave. As God, he burst the bands of death, almighty still to save. As man, he lay within a boat, o'erpowered by needful sleep. As God, he rose, rebuked the wind, and stilled the angry deep. As man, he yielded to his foes, submitting to be bound. As God, his presence overawed and threw them to the ground. Such was our Lord in life and earth, in dual nature one, the woman's seed in very truth, and God's eternal Son. O child, O Son, O Word made flesh, may thy high praise increase. Thou wonderful, thou mighty God, eternal Prince of Peace. May I say to you, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. Now, this is what he was yesterday. But you know, he's up under God's right hand today. He still wants little children to come to him. He still has his arms out for them, and sinners can still come to him. And he can still say, even to the one that's gone to the very depths, go and sin no more. I can free you. And if the Son make you free, you'll be free indeed. You can come to him. A great many people feel gingerly going sometimes into church or into meetings. They feel like they're with a bunch of goody-goodies, and we have to be very careful. You know, if Jesus was there in that meeting, I think you'd hear his laughter. And I think you'd fall in love with him as a person, as a man. There's been something said about him, and very frankly, I spoke against it when I first heard it. But it's got me to thinking. It was said by one of these radicals in the East. He called Jesus a revolutionary. I don't like that. That's not true. But he said Jesus was a gutsy person. And my, how he's been criticized for that. And I join that criticism. I've been thinking it over. Let me say this to you today. I don't agree with it. Did you know that if we really presented Jesus as he really was, he'd appeal to the radical today? Jesus was a man. And he's the same today. But he's God. He could weep at a tomb because he's human, but he could say to Lazarus, come forth. And may that same one today meet you in your need. He can sympathize with you. He can weep with you. He can laugh with you. But he can save your soul. I wish that I could present him like he really was 1,900 years ago when he came to this earth. How wonderful he was. And your sorrow is his sorrow. And your joy is his joy today. And he's going to be the same in the future, same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never going to change. Someday we're going to be in his presence, and how wonderful that's going to be. And now he sums it all up, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same in his attributes, same in his attitude, same in his love, and same today in his person, and he'll never change. But he's not a babe in Bethlehem, and he's not going around through that land doing good. But he's right now at God's right hand, and he is Jesus Christ. He is human, but he's God. You see, he was very human when he was here. He got tired, sat down at a well, because he's tired. That's very human. But he said to the woman that came down to the well, I can give to you the water of life, and you'll never thirst again. No human being can say that. Only God can do that, friend. He was out on the little Sea of Galilee, and a storm came up, and he was asleep in the boat. Why? Again, he was weary. He was tired. He's human. But they waked him up. He looked out over that sea, and he rebuked it. And the waves just flattened out. Why? Because he's God. He stood at the tomb of Lazarus, his friend, a man that he loved, and he wept. And that's human to shed tears. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And friends, that's not human. Only God can do that. But he's wonderful in his humanity, as we said. We attempted to emphasize that, and I do that as we come here to this last part, that he today knows you, understands you, and he's our great high priest, and he's able to save us to the uttermost. Let me read a little something here. I have used this before, and I'm just going to give an excerpt from the little book of Dr. Scofield on the loveliness of Christ. And will you listen to this? First of all, as it seems to me, this loveliness of Christ consists in his perfect humanity. Am I understood? I do not now mean that he was a perfect human, but that he was perfectly human. In everything but our sins and our evil natures, he's one with us. He grew in stature and in grace. He labored and wept and prayed and loved. He was tempted in all points as we are, sin apart. With Thomas, we confess him, Lord and God. We adore and revere him. But, beloved, there is no other who establishes with us such intimacy, who comes so close to these human hearts of ours. No one in the universe of whom we are so little afraid. He enters as simply and naturally into our 20th century lives as if he had been reared in the same street. How wonderful he is. He's the same yesterday, but he's the same today, and he's going to be that way on down through eternity. You see, it wasn't the person of Christ that turned man away. It was his teaching that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. They didn't like that kind of teaching. That he was going to die on the cross. And you remember, even though Simon Peter says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he also rebuked him, even at that time, and said, when he mentioned going and dying, he said, Far be that from thee, Lord. May I say to you, this one here, he was one that when men came in contact with him, they found grace and truth. They found sweetness and strength. They found meekness and majesty. They found light and love. He appealed to man. But when he died on the cross, that cross became an offense, and it still is. But Jesus is still attractive. And I think even the radicals today, and I know when they have in the riots up at Berkeley several years ago, one placard had on it this, Jesus, yes. Church, no. May I say to you, that was certainly a condemnation of all of us Christians. We certainly are not representing him as he is. He's attractive, friends, and you ought to know him. Paul, who came to know him, even at the end of his life, found out that he wanted to know him better. He says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Now that I've retired, I'd like to say to you, my one ambition is to know him and to get out his word. I can't think of anything better than that to do today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.